Central Jersey Talk Radio, Central Jersey 1450, WCTC with the Restaurant Guys. Call them now at 732-545-9282. 732-545-9282.
Hello, everybody, and good morning. You are listening to The Restaurant Guys. I'm Mark Pascal here with Francis Schott. Together, we own Stage Left and Captain Lombardi Restaurants in New Brunswick, New Jersey. We're going to give you the inside track on food, wine, and the finer things in life. You can listen to us every day from 11 to noon. Reach us through restaurantguysradio.com or download our podcast on iTunes.
Morning there, Marky.
Good morning, Francis.
How are you this morning?
I'm doing great. Really good.
I want to discuss something. It was an interesting email correspondence and correspondence I had with a cousin of mine who made a reservation in the restaurant. And he said, Cousin Francis, you got to help me out here. I want a great date. Want a special night. How do I make this night special? And with someone he cared about a great deal. And it got me to thinking about
so you needed, dates. He needed his your A material.
You needed my A material.
You needed your best stuff.
And but so we got him a reservation in the restaurant, and it was and he's a really great guy. And he got her flowers, and there were flowers waiting for her at the restaurant.
That's A stuff.
Nothing too ostentatious. Not a dozen roses, four roses, two pink, two red. Classy guy, right? And I got to thinking about what people do for dates, and it, you know. It's about restaurants. Most of what we do is we go out to dinner. But sometimes I feel that it can all be just going out to dinner, you know? And so I looked online.
Well, dinner, I mean, dinner is a good place to go out, to, obviously, for a date.
It's wonderful.
Because it's totally interactive.
You talk,
but you also have something to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Things keep changing in front of you. You have the scenery of what's around you. You have the people that are around you. You have the people who keep interjecting into your meal. People who come and, you know, the waiter comes over and talks about.
And the food is different than the wine.
Hebe or some new fish that you've never heard of. So you have something, there's a lot to talk about when you're at a restaurant.
Or even if it's just a pizza. I mean, as the food goes by you. But what I thought was interesting was I said, you know, when I think about it, when we get together with friends, if I go out on a date, most often that's the default date is dinner or food or something food related, and
right.
I think that's very primal. You know, we all come together around the communal fire. You know, that's very very primal.
Well, plus because you and I never do anything for like 20 minutes, so it's got to be 4 hours long. So you got to think as well. What can I do for four hours?
Right. So
eat is the answer.
But I looked online to look at what people would do. I was curious of what people would do. Without dinner, for a date, if you want to go on a date.
For non-restaurant dates.
Right. So I came up with, at MSN.com, I came up, Lisa Cherikola, I'm not getting her name right, but Lisa
we're sure of that.
Cherikola wrote an article called, in the dating and relating section at MSN.com, called 9 Great Non-Dinner Dates. And I thought, I found it, the Holy Grail. We're going to find some stuff that's, you know, not restaurant related.
Right, doesn't have anything to do with food. Or
you want to check out what the top 9 non-dinner dates?
I want to check them out. Tell me.
Ready? Number 9, go on a food tour.
Isn't that going to a restaurant?
That's put on what your walking shoes.
Have the tasting menu, and it's a food tour.
And get ready to discover parts of your neighborhood where they have all sorts of local food. Okay. Number 8 for the non-dinner dates. Go out for tapas.
Well, it's not dinner. It's kind of like hors d'oeuvres. It's, you know, it's
no,
not quite
we're not
dinner.
Getting away from the food and drink thing.
Yeah,
number 7. Hard. Number 7 in the non-food. Go to a tea shop.
And shop for tea or drink tea?
No, drink tea. Drink
that's,
tea.
Okay,
rather than
that's,
a coffee house, tea shop.
Tea shops. And tea shops are coming up all over the place, and they're really cool, and I think people are really starting to appreciate tea.
Not really a He-Man date, though. I got to be
honest. I like tea, man. Take it easy on me.
I got to tell you.
I really like tea.
You're 330 pounds, and you're a heavyweight wrestler.
Why you got to pick on tea, though?
Because you're 330 pounds, and you're a heavyweight wrestler. No one, you can wear a pink shirt, too. Me? I can't pull off the pink shirt. All right. Tea shops.
I'm not fat enough. You got to exaggerate my weight.
Lesbians can go to the tea shops. You know.
Stop it.
Okay. Amusement parks. We have a non-dinner date. We have a non-dinner date. Amusement parks. That's good. You can have the hot dogs and the like. So we have one of these is non-food related.
Well, except you have to have popcorn and cotton
yeah,
candy
but the,
and
it's
hot
the
dogs at the amusement park.
It's the right. Non-dinner date idea number 5. food festivals. This lady's really not achieving her goal in this article. But I understand it because I do the same thing. I'm like, well, where could we go? We could go to here for dinner.
Well, the problem is you take somebody out to a movie on a date, and you spend 2 hours looking at the movie, and you don't spend any time interacting with the person.
Right.
And after all, what is dating about? It's about getting to know the person that you're with.
Yeah, it's about getting fat with the person you're with. That's all you do is go out and eat. Let me read the rest. Wine, non-dinner date number four. Go to a wine tasting or beer tasting.
Well, it's not food.
It's you better eat some food when you go there. Number three, and this is increasingly popular as we see more of these around our area, especially in New York, is non-dinner date idea number three. Go for a dessert bar.
Well, that would be after the dinner date. You could go to a dessert bar. Well, you know what? It's one of the things that has really popped up and is popping up more and more around the city is the dessert bar, and I think that's cool. And you know what I think would be a great dinner date?
What?
Go out, make dinner at home, and then when you're done with dinner at home, go out to a dessert bar. I mean, I think that might be a lot of fun.
I prefer to go out to dinner and then come home for dessert.
Oh, you. You.
What?
Dirty
it's,
man.
I'm chaste.
You're dirty.
Non-dinner date number two. Idea number two in the countdown. Go to a farmer's market and buy some food.
But then, what do you need to do?
And then...
Well, go home and cook it. Which, by the way, I think is a great date.
Yeah,
okay?
I love cooking.
Going and picking out the food with whoever you're going out with and going to have the date with. Prepping the meal, doing the meal, and having the meal together, that's a great way to get to know somebody.
Well,
that's a great way to learn about, because what are you going to learn? When you're out shopping for food, you're going to learn about where somebody came from, you're going to learn about their family, you're going to learn about their traditions, you're going to learn about the foods they ate as a kid, you're going to learn about the things that are important to them.
And even if you're not both cooks and one of you is cooking dinner for the other, because I've been in that situation where I'm cooking and somebody's sitting having a glass of wine while I cook. That's a really nice way to spend time together.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really nice way to spend time together. But still food related, does not work. So the number one non-dinner date idea on MSN.com was pick your own produce. Don't know, like, what they mean.
Well,
you know,
like last weekend I went to Whiteman's Farms and we went to apple picking. You know, it's a lot of fun. Of course, we took the kids, and the kids enjoy it more than the adults. But, you know, you get your little apple picker, and you reach way up there, and you pick your apple, and then you sit down on a little bench, and you eat an apple that you smuggled that you didn't pay for yet, and it tastes all the better because you're stealing it.
You're a complete dork. You realize that? Yeah, you're a complete dork.
Come on, apple picking's fun. Pumpkin picking's fun. That's why these places are so popular. Can I just tell you, interject for 1 second?
Yes.
We went to Whiteman's Farm, which is in Morristown, New Jersey. I'm telling you, there were 5,000 people. I mean, I've been to baseball games where there haven't been this many people. Just apple picking on a Sunday afternoon. There was a line to earn, so you could pay for the right to go pick apples.
Mm-hmm.
Then you went and pick apples. Then there was a line to pay for the apples that you picked for. I mean, like half an hour lines. Then if you wanted to go buy an apple pie, you stood on another line. If you wanted to go on a hayride, you had to stand on a line to buy a ticket to stand on a line to go on a hayride. It was a zoo.
And I think it's a great idea for a date. All I'm saying is we are so food-centric in our country, and that's not a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
That this woman wrote this article trying to come up with the same idea that I was with you know, dates that don't revolve around food. And, yeah, there's kayaking and bowling and, you know, stuff like that, which is fun,
mm-hmm.
too. But most of when we come together, and I think this is the point of this article, and I'm trying desperately to find a point in this segment, is the point is that we come together over food and wine, and that's a good thing, and that's very basic, and that's why we do this show, and that's what we talk about all the time. And we'll be talking more about that, and we're talking about macaroni and cheese, and we're talking about honey for the rest of this show. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:15. Hello, everybody, and welcome back. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys. Mark and Francis of Stage Left and Captain Lombardi Restaurants in downtown New Brunswick. Our guests today are really into macaroni and cheese. No, really into macaroni and cheese. Sarita and Caesar Akia own Smack, which is a restaurant that specializes in pretty much, well, just macaroni and cheese in New York City.
Sarita and Caesar, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thanks.
All right, so you opened a macaroni and cheese restaurant. And it's busy.
Yes,
We could definitely say it's busy.
Well, many people would look at that initially and say, what's wrong with you guys? You're crazy.
I think we are a little bit.
I think our friends think so, too.
You've opened a restaurant, so we've established that you're crazy.
Yeah, exactly.
Now you've opened a restaurant that pretty much only serves macaroni and cheese, so now we know it for a fact.
So tell us about your restaurant.
Okay, so you got the most important part down. The fact that we always serve is mac and cheese done in different variations. We've got, you know, your standard mac and cheese, which we call our All-American, and then we have some fun twists. We've got, you know, brie, manchego, cheeseburger mac and cheese, and we've got build your own, so you can pick from cheese sauces, throw in meats and veggies. So it's a very bright and kind of homey, I guess, restaurant that I think trickles or people are very nostalgic about our restaurant, I think, and about the food we serve.
Did you have a very positive experience with macaroni and cheese as a child? I mean, did your mother used to bathe you in macaroni and cheese? Where did this idea come from?
The idea came from us frequenting a lot of single-theme restaurants in the village in New York City. So we, like most New Yorkers, eat out probably 99% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And
not anymore. You own a restaurant. You're not allowed to leave.
Right.
Right, exactly. So, it was just casual conversation. I had mentioned to Caesar, we were at the Peanut Butter Company in the West Village, and I had mentioned to him, you know, wouldn't it be great if there was a place that just served mac and cheese, since that's another comfort food? And, we couldn't shake it. We left there, and we were laughing. We're like, oh, there's got to be a place already like this. And we started looking into it. Sure enough, there wasn't. And we couldn't shake the idea, and we ran with it.
Well, you weren't in the restaurant business, right?
No.
How did you go from, you were engineers?
Yes, we were.
This usually not a good transition, by the way. For most people, that's usually, you're going the wrong way.
Exactly.
So tell us the story, how it got from you can't show.
We did not disappoint, but we had a lot of family that would say, really, you're going to do that after all that master's degrees you guys got? You're going to open a restaurant? We were like, yeah.
Before you
that was the same discussion I had with my mom.
we tell us the story of how you got from, it's an idea that two engineers walk out of Peanut Butter and Company and think, let's open the mac and cheese restaurant. Are you having more fun doing what you're doing?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, there is no doubt about that. I mean, it's probably a lot more work, but
yeah. A lot less money.
but there's something to be said about owning your own business and the personal gratification that comes from it.
Yeah, amen.
Plus surrounding yourself with macaroni and cheese.
Yeah.
I know, come on.
Have you each gained 50 pounds since you've opened the restaurant?
Actually, the whole crew has lost weight.
You got to work really hard to work off macaroni and cheese, let me tell you.
We worked really hard in this place. Especially through the summer, it was so hot and our air conditioning wasn't up to par and everybody was losing weight.
It was crazy. Yeah, we were just, everyone's cut it down like three waist sizes, and people were coming to the restaurant looking at us going, okay, you know, if this is what mac and cheese does here, we'll be here every day.
So I would imagine, though, that your sales will be better in the wintertime than they are in the summertime. Francis and I were relating to your, okay, and then you bring a steaming hot cast iron pan of macaroni and cheese and you put it in front of me and it's 104 degrees. I don't know.
Yeah, you know, we were so surprised because the first week of August in those 104 degree days, we still had steady business. So people are, you know, we may be crazy, but there's a lot of crazier out there. No, I think people are just so passionate mm-hmm. about this food. It's amazing what weather conditions people will come out for it.
At the same time, people will go out for, you know, people will eat hot food in the summer like pizzas and burgers and things like that. So it's not, I think there is a, maybe because of growing up in childhood that, you know, there's a connection between like turkey and Thanksgiving or squash, butternut squash soup in fall and mac and cheese in the cold weather. But at the same time, if you present it as food, then people will eat it whenever mm-hmm. they're hungry. It doesn't matter if it's hot or cold. But I think we'll get a lot of deliveries in the winter. Though.
Now, you guys have been quoted as saying that you think macaroni and cheese is going to be the new pizza. You don't really think that, do you?
Caesar's been saying this since before we opened the restaurant. Yeah.
We believe we've created the next dining category, like pizzas, burgers, yogi, mac and cheese. It's a very versatile food. When you start thinking about it, it's very, very flexible. And that basic pasta and cheese sauce you can take to a lot of levels, like our new masala mac.
Let me ask you, in opening the restaurant, now you guys came in and you did what a lot of people dream of doing and we always advise against doing, which is to not have a lot of restaurant experience and come in, and your first job in the restaurant as business is owner.
Right.
What sort of things really caught you by surprise and difficulties did you face in getting this thing off the ground and getting it open?
I think that...
Besides the mopping and dishwashing.
Right. Besides the janitorial work. No, I think the construction process, because we opened in a space that wasn't a restaurant before. So not only were we opening a restaurant, we had to build out a new kitchen. And that process was very long. Getting authorization for surprisingly enough, gas in our our kitchen was a long process. Those are things, I mean, those are more or less hiccups along the way, really, when we look back on it. But at the time, it was very grueling just because it was pushing out our opening date. Then you've got your rent overhead that you're still paying.
You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 1125.
Today we are proud to present Jackie Naylor.
Love me, leave me. Once upon a time, New Year's Eve was a night for swank, jazz, champagne, and caviar. Ring in 2007 at just such a gathering with us. The Restaurant Guys present a New Year's Eve jazz concert at the Crossroads Theater starring Ms. Jackie Naylor. Jackie's been called the new voice of jazz by Vogue magazine. Jazz Times says, in the never-ending Next Big Thing sweepstakes, bet on Jackie Naylor. She's headlined internationally. She's played with Michael McDonald and David Sanborn. And on New Year's Eve, she'll play to a sold-out crowd at the Crossroads Theater right next to our restaurants. Dine before or after the show at either one of our acclaimed restaurants. There are hotel accommodations within walking distance, one of the best jazz singers in the country, two of the best restaurants in the state, an evening not to be forgotten. Go to stageleft.com or Catherine Lombardi.com for details, reservations, and menus, or call 732-828-4444. Put the swank back in New Year's Eve. Spend it with the Restaurant Guys. Hello, everybody, and welcome back. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys. Mark and Francis of Stage Left and Captain Lombardi Restaurants in downtown New Brunswick. Our guests today are really into macaroni and cheese. No, really into macaroni and cheese. Sarita and Caesar Akia own Smack, which is a restaurant that specializes in pretty much, just macaroni and cheese in New York City. Now, I understand on your first day of opening, you had lines out the door, and it's quoted here as saying that you went from a staff of 5 to a staff of 14 in 5 days.
Yes.
Yeah, we did.
We should all be blessed with such travails.
Yeah, it was crazy. That first week, I think I woke up every day, like, I didn't know whether to laugh or cry. what do you do? This is really great, but... You know, it's just very overwhelming at the same time.
I think you have a little bit of both. And I tell you, I hope that we see Smack franchises all around the country. Is that in the works?
It will be in the midterm future.
I think
it's going to take a good year or two for this baby to kind of grow up and mature and be on its own legs.
Well, you want to work right all now, the kinks out.
Yeah, it doesn't really run right now unless we're there personally supervising everything. And a lot of times doing the work. So... Mm. It has to get to a point where it's on its own and, you know, the process is down pat. Because we also have gone from what we thought was a neighborhood restaurant with a food serving process geared towards made-to-order food to where there's a line out the door and you have to churn this food out as fast as a McDonald's.
Mm-hmm.
And so now, so there's this process sometimes will break down or, you know, create bottlenecks when there's that kind of a line. So we're kind of trying to work out how do we take this, keep the made-to-order freshness of the food and still get it out fast enough to serve everybody. So things like that, I think, are going to be our next project.
Sarita and Caesar's restaurant is called Smack. You can find out more about them at www.smacknyc.com. And a line out the door is always a good thing. Maybe you'll be the next Shake Shack and put a little cam there watching your line out the door. We wish you the best. Thanks for coming to talk with us on the Restaurant Guys radio show.
Thank you guys.
It's been swell talking to them. They made it. They did it. When we advise everybody not to do that very thing. But I'm going in the autumn for a macaroni and cheese. You know, I live in Jersey City. It's an easy ride over there.
Toasty, cool weather. It seemed perfect.
And you know, the place that that was inspired by them is Peanut Butter and Company. You know Peanut Butter and Company. I go there, you can go get a peanut butter sandwich.
That inspired them, yeah.
Yeah, you
get,
it's a single theme restaurant. I like the idea. What are we doing with all our multiple
We're
restaurants?
We're doing it wrong,
it's
for
all
sure.
All wrong. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:30.
Central Jersey Talk Radio, Central Jersey 1450, WCTC with the Restaurant Guys. Call them now at 732-545-9282. 732-545-9282.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back. You are listening to The Restaurant Guys. I'm Mark Pascal here with Francis Schott. Together we own Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi restaurants in New Brunswick, New Jersey. We're here to give you the inside track on food, wine, and the finer things in life. You can listen to us every day from 11 to noon. Reach us through restaurantguysradio.com or download our podcasts on iTunes.
You know, several months ago, I met a woman named Marina Marchese. Marina has a company called Red Bee, and she deals in all things honey. You may have heard us talk about honey on the show before. We get some honey from Italy. We get some honey from around the world. We get varietal honey. And honey is one of those secret weapons in the cook's arsenal and in the home arsenal that people may not realize that there are so many different varieties of honey, and we are getting them from all over the world. And now we're getting some honey from Marina at Red Bee, and they're local. She's based in Weston, Connecticut, and she's here to talk to us about all things honey.
Marina, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Now, let's get some of the negative out of the way right away. There was a lawsuit brought in the state of New Jersey a couple of years ago from a woman who had given her infant honey. And she lost the lawsuit. She sued the honey manufacturers because the honey producers basically said, we don't make the honey, the bees make the honey, we just distribute the honey. Why shouldn't you give honey to an infant?
Children under the age of 18 months to 2 years old should not have any raw food, and that includes apples and peaches and watermelons and things like that. And honey is considered a raw food. And most of the honey that we sell and local beekeepers, we don't pasteurize it, meaning we don't heat it. So there can be some, bacteria in it. And children's digestive systems really are not mature enough to handle raw food. And that's why, you know, children eat food in a can or, you know, in a glass
or
jar, like vegetables and things like that.
Or from a breast, let's say. I don't know.
Well, that can be, you know, that can be mother's
right.
food. But children under the age of two should just basically not have uncooked food.
Right. Now, let's talk about the positive sides of food. When we say that honey is a raw food, honey occupies a very unique place in our diet. It is one of the only two things that we eat that are created and designed to be food. Milk and honey, you may have heard about this in the Bible. One of the reasons those foods occupy such a unique place is honey is designed to be food, and it's very nutritious and has a lot of health benefits. Isn't that right?
Well, honey is better than sugar. People don't know that. They think honey is sugar, and honey really is a sweetener, but honey has so many more benefits than white sugar does. Honey doesn't take away from your body and, you know, break down your immune system, whereas sugar, you know, depletes your body of minerals and vitamins, and honey has minerals and vitamins. It's a very healthy choice.
So I read a lot about the health benefits of honey. Why don't you tell us about what some of those health benefits are for people who use honey, and especially raw honey, and especially local honey?
Well, most of our customers purchase our honey that we produce here in our apiary in Connecticut because of allergies.
That was something I heard about a long time ago. I had a friend who came to me, and he said, listen, you experience allergies. You should be eating local honey. And I thought, what will local honey do for my allergies? Maybe you can shed a little light.
Well, like I was saying, many customers seek out our honey, and a lot of the health food stores in the areas purchase our honey for their customers, because by ingesting raw honey, you're actually ingesting traces of pollen and something else called propolis, which is from the sap of the trees that the bees produce. And by ingesting local honey, you're actually desensitizing your body to the pollen in the air. the same way the doctor would give you maybe a flu shot. He's actually giving you the flu. So by taking honey that's local and unheated, untreated, you're getting pollen in your system in low, low dosages.
But isn't that, I mean, that's a little, obviously a little counterintuitive for a lot of our listeners, because what you're thinking is, well, I'm allergic to that, so you're going to give me it. You know, anytime I'm around a cat, the more cats I'm around, the worse it gets.
But there is something that happens by taking it in low dosages along with the honey.
Mm-hmm.
You know, having the local pollen. People buy pollen from us as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying take a big teaspoon right away, but some people actually have to slowly introduce it into their system so they can build up that natural tolerance.
Well, let's change courses here a little bit. I think that's fascinating. And the health the more we learn about honey, the more I read about honey, the more health benefits I see from it.
It's unbelievable.
But aside from that, one of the things that we started doing years ago with an Italian producer from a wine importer who was bringing in varietal honey. Will you explain to people what varietal honey is?
Well, it's called like single varietal honey or mono varietal honey, meaning that we're starting to learn that in this country alone, we have probably over 300 different varieties of honeys, meaning we can go to different areas like Maine and get a blueberry blossom honey, or we could go to South Georgia and get a Tupelo honey, which means that the bees are foraging on specifically those certain plants that are blooming at a certain time of the year. And if the beekeeper times it correctly and removes the honey, the excess honey, off of the hive, you'll actually have a honey that has a certain flavor.
All honeys
have different colors, different textures, and different flavors depending on the flower that the bees are foraging.
And, you know, that's amazing that when people think it's a blueberry blossom honey, it's not that we put blueberry blossoms in the honey, it's that we harvest the honey from the beehive.
From the blueberry plant.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
And it's amazing. And we have a whole range of honeys. We actually did a tasting once in a restaurant as just sort of a fun thing. But if you take, and it's not just this subtle difference. I mean, they're very serious.
Tremendously different.
Very different.
And certain chestnut honey, for instance, really, really has a very distinctive chestnut
very
flavor.
Dark, very heavy, very rich.
And they'll change. I mean, chestnut honey is sort of a magic trick. We always use chestnut honey in the summertime on ice cream because chestnut honey is actually so rich and thick that it will, like the chocolate coatings used to put on ice cream cones, if you drizzle it on top of honey, and we use it with vanilla and figs. If you drizzle chestnut honey on top of vanilla ice cream and figs, the ice cream will solidify the honey and make it almost like a toffee.
Like a caramel.
Yeah. And it's,
exactly.
But, you know, rhododendron honey won't do that, or lime blossom honey won't do that.
To the same degree, for sure.
So let's talk about red bee honeys. Do you offer different kinds of single variety honeys?
Well, basically what we get in Connecticut is considered wildflower.
Mm-hmm.
Our wildflower that we produce tends to be a darker, richer honey. We have a lot of maple trees in the area, so our honey has a flavor, a hint of a maple syrup flavor, which is really quite unique. That's basically what we get most of the year round. We do have some bees in areas where we do get some blueberry blossom honey, and our blueberry blossom is completely different than the wildflower in that it's a lighter honey, a golden color,
mm-hmm.
and it has a buttery texture to it, almost tastes like butter, and a sweet butter, like a fruitier.
Now, there are different color, I mean, when you're grading honey, one of the things that you're looking at is the color. What are the different colors that a honey could possibly be? Because they really do range, I think, more than most of us see.
Well, there is a technical term. Honeys can be dark amber, medium amber, light amber, water white almost. There are designated terms that actually honey judges do, and they do judge honey in Europe. There is an international honey judging every year in England, and I went to it about 4 years ago, and I couldn't believe that they treat honey in Europe the way we treat wine.
Hey, listen, I own a restaurant. I judge honey, too. The ones that I'm going to use for my restaurant, I pick very, very carefully.
Yeah. But many people in this country haven't really understood that yet. But it's starting, the interest level is starting to be there.
We're gonna put a link up on our website, restaurantguysradio.com, to your very interesting site with all the different products you have. And what's very interesting, I find, is to do a honey tasting, to get a couple of varieties side by side. And as a cook, you really learn quite a bit. We're going to talk more with Marina Marchese about how to use honey in your home and how to maybe substitute honey for sugar and make yourself a lot healthier and a lot more interesting flavors. You're listening to the Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:45.
Economy Paper and Restaurant Supply Company is the oldest dealership in New Jersey. They've been equipping and supplying restaurants since 1932, and they know that to make great food, you need great equipment. You need equipment that doesn't break down, and you can't pay too much for it. Whether you need an emergency replacement or a wholesale kitchen renovation, Economy's knowledge, experience, and integrity are indispensable. Economy Paper and Restaurant Supply is a recognized dealer for all major brands, and they specialize in custom fabrication and ventilation. At Economy, they've got all the tools you need to get the job done, all in one place, all priced right, and delivered to your door. Economy is the only dealer in New Jersey that's approved for on-site demonstrations of the Rational Combi Oven. The Rational Combi Oven is an innovative combination of convection and adjustable steam oven. It's a powerful and versatile tool in your kitchen's arsenal. They also supply competitively priced paper products and all the non-food supplies every restaurant needs. You can visit the Economy Demo Kitchen on Broad Street in Clifton, New Jersey. You can also visit economysupply.com, then call them at 973-279-5500. That's 973-279-5500.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Mark and Francis of Stage Left and Cafe Lombardi Restaurants in downtown New Brunswick, New Jersey. Our guest is Marina Marchese of Red Bee, which is a honey producer here in Connecticut, just here in the Northeast. We were talking before the break about different kinds of honey and how, you know, a blueberry blossom honey, different honey from different flowers in different places will have different tastes. When someone's using honey, if someone wants to substitute sugar for honey, we use less honey
than
sugar.
I never want to substitute sugar for honey.
Right, honey for sugar. That's what I meant. You use less honey than you do sugar to get the same level of sweetness, right?
You know, basically in baking, you want to do about half the amount of sugar. So if it calls for 1 cup of sugar, you can try about a half.
Mm-hmm.
Because honey actually will keep it moist.
Mm-hmm.
So you really need a little bit less with baking. You might want to try recipes that already are set up to use honey. And in cooking, you can do amazing things with honey as a marinade, as a dressing. You guys know you're the restaurant guys, but honey, we use it every day.
Yeah, we're using honey all over the menu.
You know, the other thing when we say that you know, honey is a preservative. Honey is one of those natural foods that does not go bad.
They
found honey in tombs that's still edible.
Well, they say that the reason that the mummies lasted so long is that they were embalmed with beeswax, honey, and this substance called propolis that I was mentioning to you. And propolis, some people will see it in natural toothpaste because it's sort of the strongest. It's said to be the strongest antibacterial that the bees produce.
Now let me ask you. We talked when we first met. We were working a benefit together years ago. We were working at the Share Our Strength benefit, and I was doing wine, and you were doing honey. You told me about bees in America, the honeybees that we get our honey from aren't native to North America.
Honeybees originally were not native to the U.S. They were brought over from Europe about 100 years ago, and they've been here ever since, making honey.
Now, we've had some issues with bees. I mean, certainly in New Jersey, we had a big problem last year. We lost almost half of the hives
to mites.
In New Jersey. Is that something that's affecting people across the country, or is that just indigenous to here in New Jersey?
When you say lost the bees, you mean beekeepers have lost hives?
Beekeepers, yes, are losing hives to mites.
Well, yeah, there's a mite problem that affects beekeepers all over this country, and it's all over the world. And it's a natural predator for the bees, and it looks sort of like a little tick on the bees. You can actually observe them if you watch your bees coming in and out of the hive. And it attacks the drones, and it attacks the larvae of the actual bee before they become, you know, a mature honeybee.
Hey, Let me ask, if bees aren't indigenous to the United States, are there all sorts of flora that could not exist without the bee having been introduced? Are there flowers that weren't indigenous that just couldn't make it here without the bee? How are things pollinated before bees?
I would imagine a lot of things are wind-pollinated, where it relies on nature and wind to blow the, you know, seeds around for pollination purposes. But the honeybee is not native, but also, you know, many other different insects act as pollinators, such as like a butterfly going to flower. Certain pieces of pollen get stuck on their body, and then they visit other flowers, and things become naturally pollinated. Bumblebees are natural pollinators, but the honeybee, they say, is the best pollinator. And that's why farmers will pay beekeepers to actually put hives on their property and on their farms to pollinate their crops.
Yeah, I think people also don't realize that honeybees really are pretty docile. I mean, we're used to yellow jackets and some really mean bees around here, and that's not really the case with honeybees, is it?
Yeah, many people say to me, whatever got you involved with bees, you know, and they tell me their story about when they got stung, and most of the time they're stung by what you call like a wasp or a yellow jacket.
Mm-hmm.
Honeybees are very, very docile. They do sting, but they won't provoke it. Honeybees are not the bees that will come to your barbecue and sit on your hamburger and your Coca-Cola. Those are yellow jacks mostly. So you really don't have to worry about honeybees, you know, being aggressive and attacking you.
And what's a bumblebee?
Bumblebees are the cute fuzzy bees. They're pollinators, and you see them in the garden. They're really quite cute, and they're very docile also, but they live in the ground a lot. So sometimes people mowing the lawn may get stung by a bumblebee, but they're the cute, chubby ones that are very friendly looking.
I do like those cute, chubby, friendly looking ones.
I do.
Radio host or bees? So, and they don't make honey?
They do make honey, but they only make enough to feed their colony.
Selfish bees.
But the honeybees will just continue making honey, excess honey, and that's what the beekeeper actually harvests.
Well, and the bear, of course.
I've been waiting all segments to do that. Well, honey, it's been great having you on the show, Marina.
Thank you.
We're going to put a link to Red Bee Honey on our website. There's all sorts of stuff on that website, like salves and health products, as well as really some of the best varietal honey for you as a home cook. It can be a secret weapon for you. Thanks for coming on the show, Marina.
Thank you again.
You're more than welcome. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:55. Hey, everybody, welcome back. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Mark and Francis of Stage Left and Captain Labarty Restaurants in downtown New Brunswick. Well, that was an interesting show. Mac and cheese followed by honeybees.
We got it all.
I'm a poet.
You know, one of the things that we didn't touch on with honey, and we did talk about...
Don't touch it. It's sticky.
The fact that honey will virtually last forever. But a lot of people store honey in their refrigerator. Not the best place to store your honey.
Not such a good idea.
Put it in the pantry. At some point, it may crystallize. It may turn all...
Solid
and kind of milky white.
Solid like a rock.
Yes, solid like a rock, exactly. But all you need to do to make that honey back into kind of the liquid honey that you want, you could either put it into some warm water that'll help it slowly go, or if you put it in a microwave, put it on one of the low settings of the microwave.
I don't believe in the microwave thing.
Yeah, well, it's easy to burn, and that's one thing you can do to honey. You can burn it.
Yeah. Well, if you put the honey, you take the jar of honey and you put it in a bath of warm water, you'll turn it back to liquid. If you just put the honey in the warm water, it'll dissolve.
And all those little crystals go away.
Won't have any honey left. By the way, and also, serving the honey when it's crystallized, there's nothing wrong with that. And it's actually quite interesting. If you're having it with cheese or the like, you can, that once the honey gets solid, you can make it, they call it honey butter. And it's
got a little crunch factor to it. It can be really, really interesting.
And the other thing to look out for, that you can find it at Red Bee, we love a honeycomb. You can get honey in the honeycomb. And that's just visually striking. It's a little messy. And
yeah, we serve it on our cheese board occasionally. It's really, really cool.
And I'm
great with cheese, by the way.
I'm a huge fan.
And you can actually, with honeycomb, people don't realize, but you can actually eat the wax from the honeycomb, which I find interesting and generally don't like to eat wax. But
no, but it's good. It's crystallized in the honeycomb. It's really very good. And, you know, my grandmother used to make... a hot toddy, which is honey, whiskey, and this was like a health aid. and my grandfather used to pretend to be sick. But honey whiskey and spices, really remarkable.
When I had a spoon, when I had a sore throat, my mother would give me a spoonful of honey. I mean, it was one of the things that
I'm putting
medicinal things that in of my life.
I'm putting the recipe for hot toddy up on the website, and I never I used to give.
I'm going to put the recipe for spoonful of honey on the website too.
And if you're feeling a little down, be near your bed because you'll drink it and go right to sleep. Hope you've enjoyed the hour listening to The Restaurant Guys. I'm Francis Schott.
And I'm Mark Pascal.
We are The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 12 noon.